Miami loving. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm trying to get in shape a little bit. I put on 22 pounds over the holidays and trying to lose a little bit of weight, though. My Japanese neighbor's starting to call me Gutzilla, so I got to do something with that. But I blame a lot of that on the holidays and stuff, and I always try to make my New Year's resolutions to not gain weight, but I didn't do that this year. I made two different ones, and I've kept them so far. One, I ate a booger yesterday. All right, I didn't do that one, but I couldn't help it. It was dry air, and it was a good one, too. You know what I mean? Well, you can't help it. You don't want to, but you're like, oh, what the hell? You know, But I said I was going to eat more and get fat, and I have done that, so that's a good thing. But you know what irritates me? Did you ever read the label on your butterball turkey over the holidays? Anybody speak English at all, or am I way off in the turkey deal? You don't eat turkey, or my turkey said sweet, young, and juicy right on the daggum label. That ain't right. I had my pants unsnapped before we ate the meal here. I tell you that much. That's right.
The Don and Mike Show.
You know, well then, get her done. I don't think he's as dumb as he sounds.
Is everybody happy?
What do you think of that, Larry?
That was funny.
All right.
You would give blood just to hear their show. Don and Mike.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
That really was not funny.
That was not funny. Don't you stop laughing. That ain't funny.
I bet if you talk to that guy when he's off stage, he sounds like Prince Charles.
Right. Stop that. It's silly.
That's
very silly indeed.
Like that guy.
Very silly indeed. My name is Lawrence. Lawrence the Digital Cable Man.
Isn't he lovely?
What?
I like it when you say what to him and his microphone's not turned on.
Are you talking about Andy Mayberry?
No, Ernest.
Oh, or you mean like Ernest Goes to Camp?
Yeah, like the Hey Vern guy. Wasn't he also?
Vern, Jim Varney?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yes, Jim Varney was a Shakespearean actor.
Yeah, we had that falling out with him.
Yes.
When he came on the show,
we just wanted Vern.
Hot as balls, and he wanted to come in, and he was talking in his Shakespearean voice.
He was mad at that, too, because we wanted the Vern guy.
Typecast.
And when we said that, he was Ernest,
yeah.
You see. And because he always said, hey, Vern, like many idiot fans of his, we were exactly the same. We said, hey, can you do the Vern guy? Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't the Vern guy. Ernest, his character, said, hey, Vern.
His character.
And see, it's like calling Darius Rucker from Hootie,
calling him
Hootie, which he hated as well because the name of the band was Hootie and the Blowfish.
So
he wasn't Hootie.
He went into this whole Shakespearean, for I am not the man that you are speaking to. I am a trained actor.
And he was, I guess, trying to have fun with it at a certain point because every question we would ask him, he said, I'm not sure. I don't know what you mean.
And we were like two monkeys, two of those wind-up monkeys with the cymbals. We just kept saying over and over again, do the thing where you get your hand caught in the window with, you know, hey, Vern, hey, Vern.
And we wanted him to come in the outfit, and he came in a sport coat.
Yeah, what's up with that? No.
We couldn't suspend our disbelief. We really couldn't. We wanted to see Vern.
All right, let's see what's happening on the telephones that are working today.
Ooh, first of 2008. Right?
Second broadcast of 2008. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What up?
Hey, what's happening? Hello there.
It's 40. What's good?
Mr. 40.
Oh, Mr. 40.
The first call of 08. Way to go, 40.
Happy New Year. What
is happening, Chuck?
Not a whole lot, Mike.
You know, the sources were talking about the Pearsons.
It's too early in the year. To get drunk, though. What's up?
How is Grady, your brother?
Grady Smoke.
Doing real good. You know how we do.
Are you in some sort of a drinking emporium right now?
You know it.
Yes, I knew you were in a bar. Are you in a bar trying to impress some hot chicks?
No.
You simply, Mike, I think this is a good omen that our first call of 2008
is from a drunken 40?
Is an old friend, Mr. 40. Now, Rob, I know you're giving him thumbs down.
Never did that.
I want you to put the color of the man's skin behind.
Rob, try to change. Try to change in 08.
40?
What makes a Nazi?
How does he get that way?
The last time we spoke, wasn't Grady about to or just had a kid?
Yeah, and there's another one due in a couple of weeks.
Sure.
Jesus. Oh, tell him to do it for fun once in a while. A
couple of weeks? What is babies. He's some sort of freak of nature then. Yeah. I thought he was just he'd just become a father.
He's a machine.
Wow.
That's ludicrous.
Ludicrous.
That is ludicrous.
Ludicrous.
Your brother might as well be in the NBA.
It's completely outrageous.
With all of the children he's fathering, ludicrous.
Nah, you know what you're doing, 40. You're drinking your 40s and you're calling the show. Where are you, 40? Do you mind telling us?
Let's see. What is the name of this place? I'm in Sterlington, Bungalow Billy.
Bungalow Billy. All right. Well, peace out to you, 40. Thanks for being our first call of the new year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, no doubt. Good.
All right. Happy New Year. All right. Happy New Year. He's just too drunk to be functional on the air. He really was. You can always say, 40 has different degrees. There's that early buzz where he is fracturingly funny, and he has a lot to say. And then there's the part where he's gone too far, where he's just like, right.
Yeah, there was no Chuck Pearson left in there.
Yeah.
That was all pure Mr. 40.
Just about gone.
Too early in the year for that, though.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi there. Hello.
Yeah, hey, Don and Mike. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening? How are you anyway?
Yeah, pretty good. So,
how are you, Whitey?
There's a lot of stuff on YouTube with Larry the Cable Guy before he was Larry the Cable Guy, and he does have like a really high pitched voice, and he sounds like a total dork. So,
Is he still doing that redneck type of stuff that he does?
No, it's straight stand up. You can find it on YouTube right now. It's straight stand up. It's not funny at all.
Oh, you mean it's the Larry Cable Guy when he sounds like David Spade?
So it's him when he's not funny at all, as opposed to now.
Yes.
Yeah, well, right, exactly.
Right. Okay, thank you.
See, unsophisticated listeners of the show might think you play Larry the Cable Guy because you are a fan.
Quite not.
The opposite is true.
Mike, there is no larger Larry the Lawrence the Cable Guy fan than moi.
I'm right behind ye.
How many times have I seen the Blue Collar Tour?
Oh, I love him.
Oh, my God. That's why I bought a trailer. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hey, what's happening?
Not much. I was listening to one of the urban stations this morning, and they announced that Joe Gibbs was staying on as Dan Snyder's advisor.
I do think that that is part of his deal. I think in the fine print that he'll be like a consultant, something like that.
Right. Well, it involves tarot cards.
I think he's just going to, like, keep him in a closet somewhere.
It's just going to be – it's really going to be kind of fortune-telling. Now, are you familiar with the movie Ghost? Did you ever see that movie? You know, Whoopi Goldberg, the outfit she wears when she's the fortune-teller?
And incidentally, I'm sorry, but when you talk to your friends, like you just mentioned to us, hey, Don and Mike, I was listening to an urban station. If you were going to talk to your friends later and say – you called Don and Mike, would you say, hey, I was listening to the white station, and I called those guys Don and Mike. Would you?
No, because I was listening to your guys' best of.
Guys!
Out of here.
Ouch!
I think we ought, if he's going to maintain his position as an advisor to Dan Snyder, I think Joe Gibbs ought to get a Karnak hat. You know, one of the Swami hats?
Feather.
Sure. Yeah, like the one that Elvis wore. You know, call me if his condition worsens.
Maybe
a little bejeweled turban that he could wear.
You talk like this. I am Joe Gibbs.
I see a high draft choice for ye.
Where's my monkey? Scatter.
You'd have a monkey in there, too. And really, you just put a tent out on the somewhere out on the field at Redskins Park, and Dan Snyder goes into the tent where Joe Gibbs is waiting with his crystal ball.
The healing tent. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi, hello.
Good afternoon. I would like to break the butterfly that is Robert Spiewak on the wheel.
Break him. Go ahead.
How you spell resume, Robert? It's Alt-130 on the keyboard. This is Edward McCall. I'm pinching the bridge of my nose as we speak. Key Luke was on Kung Fu, and this is from your well-deserved break, your best of. And the man on 24 was on Seinfeld, and I killed him.
Does anybody understand?
I feel like I'm having some sort of migraine headache.
Not a word.
Listening to this guy.
All right, well,
I'm
thanks
scared.
For the call. Thank you very much. Nice. It's always nice catching up with old friends.
Are you saying that you can get accent Igoo by going Alt-130 on a keyboard?
He done hung
we'll
up,
never
Robbie.
Know.
He's gone.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Igoo.
Hey.
I did that on vacation.
Accent Igoo.
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 Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Donkey Mike.
Yes, Donkey Mike. Hello there.
Hey, Happy New Year's, guys.
Same
I just wanted to say, have a good one. I wish you the very best this year.
Happy
and
New Year.
My tech, Rob, it finally cleared from It's All Relative.
What?
Pardon me?
What kind of phone are you on? Are you on a speakerphone?
A good one. I think it's good. That's the name of the phone. Good phone.
Good is here.
Good phone. It's a good phone.
It's a good phone. All right, well, I'm sure you said something important. We just couldn't hear it.
Well, I wanted to say thank you, Rob, for my check from It's All Relative. It finally cleared.
He got his winnings.
Oh, you got your check from CBS.
Congratulations.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
All right, yeah.
Go ahead. How do you spell resume, Robert?
There you go. Now go listen real loud. Listen real loud.
Real loud, kids.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Oh, we missed you guys.
Back to you.
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Hi. I would like to tell you something very pointless.
Okay.
You've come to the right place.
I have a good friend that looks exactly like Bill Engvall, and I send Bill Engvall pictures of him all the time, and it's very odd.
Who's Bill Engvall?
Bill Engvall?
Engvall. He's the least annoying of the blue-collar comedy tour.
Oh, I should have known that, Mike. Oh. Yes, that's right. Bill Engvall. Actually, I'm sad to say I know. Didn't he have, like, a sitcom on TBS? The Bill Engvall Show?
I think he did. It was four.
I think he did.
Huh. Quite not.
I think so.
I was at a restaurant in Florida, and a guy walks up to me. One of this waiter walks up to me, and he's like dropping off the drinks on the table, and he's looking at me, and he's staring in that weird with his head cocked at that real angle.
Yeah.
Man, you look just like my father-in-law.
Wow.
I mean, and you know, usually you go, oh, okay, well, you know, good looking, you know, you make the joke, oh, I guess he's a great looking guy, hey, right. See you later. And then he wouldn't leave. He's standing there, and he's looking at me, and he's going, no, I mean, really, you look just like him. I mean, exactly like him. And he's standing there at the table, like, well, that's good. Well, he's a very fortunate man. That's a terrific. He must be charming and talented as well. And he gives me, like, seriously, a 10-second beat before he leaves. And he's holding this tray, and he's looking at me, and he goes, tripping. And he just turns around and he walks away from the table. That was a very, very strange moment for me.
I tipped him highly.
Of course you did.
Yes, of course I did.
Flattered.
You know, Rob's vasectomy.
Yes.
We did not get into it yet.
Did Rob have a vasectomy on the break?
He did, and I want to talk about it. But more importantly, I want to talk with you about something you brought up yesterday about TV. Granted, American Gladiators right now is a smash.
Yes.
The numbers are through the roof.
I can pick them.
I watched it last night. I couldn't stand it for 10 minutes, and here's why.
It's a horrible show.
Here's why. It really is like a video game.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it's real people.
It has that phony quality to it. You just know no one's getting hurt and nothing's going wrong, and they're all doing the trash talk 10 times more than they used to.
The angles that they use, the angle that jumps back and then jumps up front is just like in a video game. Mm-hmm. And
did you like my man, though, at least? Did you like my man?
Who's your man?
Wolf.
Mike, I didn't see Wolf. I only saw I saw some woman named Yeast. And
yes. Oh, yeah.
My God.
She's tough in the gauntlet because if you get by her.
Yeast was a beast.
You really get infected.
But yeah, they had some big, muscly babe. And I watched it for a second. And I thought, just like with the other American Gladiators, just it's not thick enough. And the stuff with Hulk Hogan is truly laughable.
He's terrible, isn't he?
Yeah, when he's on the side going, okay. Gladiator maniacs, who's with ya?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And I don't remember the old show that well. I do remember that they didn't edit it as much as this one is edited. But did they encourage the amount of trash talk where it's so forced and so fun phony? Where it's like you're going down, brother. I'm here to make mincemeat out of the gladiators.
I didn't even catch any of that. Literally 10 minutes because you gave it a rave. Had a lot of people watching. I said, wow, this thing got a huge number
through the roof.
I watched it last night. It's seriously, it's like playing.
Did you
Xbox
say that I
game.
Gave it a rave?
Well, yesterday you said you watched it, you liked it.
I watched it. No, I said that they ruined it because of the editing. That it wasn't as good as the old one.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening carefully.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it because everybody watched it, but right. I mean, it's because it was the only thing that was on.
Exactly.
That's the only reason I watched it, and I watched it last night too. But but it's still just I watch it and I don't tear away from it, but it just annoys the hell out of me. It really annoys me.
Well, I wish that I was vapid enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To
no,
stay
no
with
offense.
It. Right.
I mean, I have an empty mind. I want it to be filled with something on television when I come home at night, but I'm finding American Gladiators
too vapid even for your taste?
Yes. And yeah. What does that say that about me?
But it doesn't surprise me. And I must tell you that when I watched it last night, I watched it while talking on the phone, yeah. While eating dinner, without even really paying attention. However, at the very end, I do watch The Eliminator. Because I do enjoy The Eliminator.
What is The Eliminator?
The Eliminator is the last thing that they have to do. And it's the last thing when they have a one-on-one competition against their challenger. And it's the only real race. And what it is a very elaborate obstacle course. Okay. And it's the only thing that I find interesting on the show because it really doesn't involve any of the moron gladiators, you know, the puffed-up, steroid-ridden gladiators.
I give it about 3 more weeks.
I think you could train yourself to become vapid enough to enjoy it. You would start with Merv Griffin's crosswords.
Hey, should I point out to you, though, that Deal or No Deal is still thriving?
Yeah, what's so up
when
with
you,
that?
When you give gladiators 3 weeks.
Mike, I'm saying, boy, how do I say this? Deal or No Deal. Mm-hmm. Is much more entertaining.
It is not.
And yes, it is.
It is not.
Why is it?
It is just as vapid.
In what way?
Hold on. Because you have hot chicks.
Right.
Okay.
The models.
Easy to play. 1 through 30. Right? And it's simply open the case or close the case.
Yeah, but it's equally stupid.
It's stupider.
It's stupid like
now,
running the gauntlet.
I agree. I don't watch it. But I'm saying if it's on, I'll watch it. Now, if they had the people hitting each other over the heads with the briefcases, then maybe you've got something I'll watch.
Marry the shows.
You know, I don't watch that show either. And trust
what about
me,
when the mystery banker calls down?
I watch about anything. I've got to be the only guy in the world that watches a channel called Chiller. Have you ever watched the Chiller channel?
I look at Chiller.
Saw it, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it
here's
runs
a TV quiz for you. I'll ask you a TV quiz. A major network, not a major network, but a cable channel has changed its name. Do you know the name?
True TV.
Okay. I wanted to see if you watched
it
as
be
much
Core
as
TV.
I wanted to see if you watched as much as I did over the break.
Just to show you how vapid I am.
I like that word, vapid, for 2008.
Yeah. Well, I can't really, I can't claim it. It was given to me by my girlfriend.
Vapid is a great word.
Assigned to you by your girlfriend?
She used it to comment on the way that I watch TV.
Okay.
She said, you are so vapid. I said, what do you mean? And she said, your head is just so big and empty. It's just like you'll turn anything on and it rolls around in there. And if it's not good, you'll stay with it.
But not American Gladiators, which is a tremendous indictment of that show.
Yes, and I will stick with Deal or No Deal if there's nothing else. You want to know how pathetic I am? I've watched Deal or No Deal in a repeat on CNBC.
Oh, that's sad.
That is bad.
That is vapid.
And on the Chiller Channel, all they do is rerun like old Alfred Hitchcock stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad, though.
I love those.
Yeah, but that's vapid, too.
Chiller. And we're going to get the dictionary definition of vapid.
Vapid, from the Middle Latin meaning steam, lacking liveliness, tang, briskness, or force, flat and uninteresting,
lifeless.
See insipid. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that is how my college-educated girlfriend has described my TV viewing habits as vapid.
Since you don't like it, then give it to me again. The real reason Gladiator isn't doing it, because we might be in agreement on this.
It's because of the way that they shoot it. It's because
that's what I said yesterday.
Visually, looks too much like a video game. You're right about the editing.
Yep.
I want to just see people punching each other out. Now, granted, there's
at least in real time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that way? I mean, if you're going to show us running, you know, climbing that soft, doughy mountain of foam pads, you know, at least show it to us in real time.
Couldn't say it didn't stick long. It didn't stick with it long enough, you know. And this was seriously again that the V word came up again last night.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
"Hey now,"
I'm flipping around. She's like, "Do you like the American Gladiators?" She watched it. She liked it. And I said, "Nah." She said, "Boy, I'm surprised you're so vapid." I'm like, "Is that some type of a compliment?"
It's fake.
It's 100% fake.
It's fake, but in a
cheesy.
It's even in a worse fake way than wrestling is fake. Wrestling, everybody knows, is fake. They're making this into some. Yeah, here's what it is too. When they interview the contestants, they've always got the backstory, the touching little backstory.
Oh yeah.
And the guy that, for example, that's going to make his mother be able to retire from the military. They've got that backstory.
This is Freddie Boom Boom. He was born with a tail. He needs an operation. Only if he can knock Clubber off will he get the operation to get his tail removed.
Here's
right?
the great line from one of the challengers last night. He goes, "I really Hulk, Mr. Hogan, or whatever they called." Hulk, I really think that this is what the guy says. This is the last piece of the puzzle.
All right.
Oh, okay. Well, for him.
That's
for
his
him.
Puzzle.
Wow.
His puzzle, the last piece, is winning American Gladiator. I feel, look, I know he's on TV and I'm not.
Throw the puzzle away.
Throw that, burn that puzzle.
Throw it away.
I feel sorry for the guy.
His life's complete.
I truly do.
Oops. Oops, oops, oops. Hi there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
What's up, guys? Welcome back.
Hey, what's happening? Hi.
Hey, Don, I've got to talk to you about Apples to Apples. You played over the weekend?
Oh, I played it on New Year's Eve, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, on your break. Sorry, man. Dude, you said you gave inappropriate answers, which is the only way to play that game. You wait for, you hold on to the Adolf Hitler card or something, or the Holocaust card, and once the sexy card comes out, that's what you throw out. The
okay, explain, okay, explain Apples to Apples. This is a family fun game.
Like I explained to you when we on a couple of days ago, it's a game. Normally, you know, it's a racket. First off, these games that they sell around the holidays are a racket because you only play them as a family once a year, and you play them for a little while because everybody's feeling good about themselves,
right?
And everybody's half in the bag, and then the next day it's like, ugh, what a piece of crap that game is.
Never again.
So we played Cranium. I just revolted against that game. Apples to Oranges. There are about 500 cards that right. have. Everything on them from ham sandwich to Robert De Niro
okay.
to Adolf Hitler to Boston Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was in there, Robbie.
Thanks for applauding the Red Sox, Rob.
So you pull out about seven of these different cards. And when it's your turn, someone who has, you know, the instructions always befuddle me, but someone who has the master how to play the game pulls out a card, and when it's your turn, they would say, like, Mike.
Yes.
Of the seven cards that you are holding, you put down the one that you think is sexy. And you put your card down, face down, and everybody else puts their card in as well.
Okay.
And then the
sexy.
Game is to figure out which one you think is sexy. And if you figure that out, you win.
I really feel so stupid right now.
I don't even know. I don't even know if I'm really explaining it 100% correctly. All I know is that the guy was right.
You put all right,
but you're assigned the cards. I mean, you're given these cards, and they have these.
You're dealt cards.
You're dealt cards. Then they say, out of all, how many cards do you get?
Seven or something.
You get seven or so, and he says, put the one of all your cards that you think is sexy.
Or for instance, the one put out the one that makes you the happiest.
Okay. And how do they figure out what cards are what, since they're face down?
Well, because you turn them all over then one at a time, and you look at all seven cards.
Do you
cards.
Shuffle them up before you turn them over?
No, I mean, it's like everybody puts a card in,
right.
And then you say, which one do you think makes Mike happy? Which one of these cards?
So it's a little like Clue in that they're going to know one of them, isn't it, because they
but
put
wait,
it
but
in.
But wait, wait, I said shuffle because you put a card in front of you, and then do they shuffle them all up and then turn them all over?
No,
well, then they can see the card you put down when you turn it over.
No, they can't. Hold on. If the four of us were playing,
yeah,
each of us would be given seven cards.
Okay.
Then you say, Mike, pick one that makes you sexy. You would take one card and put it face down. Rob would take one, Buzz would take one, I would take one, put them face down. Then we turn them all over.
The four on the table.
And the three of us, Mike, I'm sorry, Buzz, Rob, and me, we try to guess which one is the one that you think is sexy.
So they are mixed up, though. They're not necessarily shuffled, but you would have to not know.
Yeah, because then you could just look at the last one that you turn over.
Right, right.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't like this game.
And Mike, what do you think is sexy?
Well, I'd have to see the cards first. Can we play this game?
Oh, it sucks. My God, it's the worst.
We could make it entertaining.
I did what the guy tried to do. Mm-hmm. I had some good ones.
Is there really a Holocaust
so you
card?
So what you're doing, when the guy said, now I understand exactly what he was
right.
saying about playing the game inappropriately, you would have like the Hitler card.
Yes.
So if they said the sexy question, you'd put Hitler in there.
Yeah. And,
and did everybody know, after a while, didn't everybody know what you were doing?
It was very apparent. And I got,
of course, that would make me laugh, though.
I got great cards. Like one of my cards was Robert De Niro.
Right.
You know, and another one was... stabbing someone in the neck, and it would like one of the
makes you feel sexy,
and it's a great game to play even if you are not being chosen. To be like, Mike, something that really means Christmas to you, and I would put in stabbing someone in the neck.
Now, after now, if everybody then the game would be, but it only works if one person's doing that.
Yeah,
because if everybody starts doing that, then the whole spirit of the game is destroyed.
And of course, when that happens, everybody goes, "Oh, that's not funny," and everybody really laughs. Right, goes, oh, that is,
see, that is funny for a while.
And then I got in the discussion with them about, well, why do you think they put stuff like Hitler and stabbing someone in the neck? If they're not supposed to be in there for that reason.
Yeah, you're trying to actually. And I guess as you get fewer and fewer cards, do you during the game, does this mean you have to sort of hedge it?
I mean, this is the beauty of playing these games on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
It got to be like 5 till midnight, and we went, oh, okay, put it away.
Forget it.
Right.
So nobody won?
And it's called. And the guy, the caller said apples to apples, but the game is called apples to oranges.
I think so. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, let me break it down so it makes a little sense to Mike because I know he's a card player.
Not fruit.
Okay.
Okay, so, Mike, all the players are dealt a hand. On each of the seven cards is a noun, okay? And what happens is the deal rotates, okay? And so.
Hey, I think Don satisfactorily explained it to me. I mean,
we have it.
You're not. You're making me now not want to play.
Hold on, we got someone else. Let's see.
How about a card that says a caller that pisses you off
with a bad cell phone?
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Hey, what's happening?
I was just going to do the same thing the other guy did, but if you guys don't want an explanation, I won't.
Hold on.
Well, you don't have any confidence in yourself.
Did I explain it correctly or not? I'm willing to say that there's a 100% chance that I screwed it up.
It was pretty correct. You get seven cards. Like he said, the deal rotates. You put down one card in the middle, and then that says, like you said, sexy. And then everybody else puts a card in face down that they think it matches that.
Do you mix one the cards up?
The one person that's the dealer doesn't.
See,
I'm
sorry.
Hold on.
This is what gets me mad. If I was in a living room, I would be mad at this guy,
too. Mike has a question.
All right, when you put the cards in the middle, Mr. Unfinished Business, do you mix them up?
He hung up.
Jesus.
Arthur Hoyle's telling.
I think you explained it. The cards are mixed up.
Who was that?
Hoyle. Hoyle cards.
A rule book guy for the cards.
But Buzz knew his first name.
It's like Arthur Hoyle, who was back in the days of Charles Dickens.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Number two fan here. Thanks for all the Jankman ScatLover.com news. I got to go, guys. Keep up the good work. Number two fan.
Gotcha.
I get it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple of things at work there.
Don and Mike Show. Hi. Jello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that you got the phone out of the tub.
Hello there.
What can we do for you?
Oh, hello, is this me?
Oh. Instant disqualification.
That is sad.
Ouch. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Oil.
Hello.
All right, well, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, just never mind. With
well, that. I think I got the gist of it, and I understand how the game would have a very short shelf life.
It does.
You wouldn't have much time, especially after you started, you know, messing around with it. It would be like a big laugh, but that's good for maybe, what, three?
Three rounds,
because then after the third one, oh, he's going to do it again.
And it's like that.
Did anybody get really annoyed at you for doing it?
No.
Good.
No, because.
Well, then you quit on time, then.
Because I did not ruin their cranium fun.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because the cranium that they had was some sort of turn-of-the-century cranium that had a thing that looked like, you remember that game Simon?
Yeah.
You press the thing and the colors go around? Well, they were playing some sort of cranium.
Simon's one of my favorite games, but then again, I'm very vapid, too. Because Simon is kind of a vapid game.
Mike, I'm sorry. I'm afraid that I'm going to have to put a copyright on being vapid.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I believe Janet said that to me with love.
As a matter of fact, why don't you go ahead and be vapid, and I will be vacuous.
That is all right. Great.
Rob, look up vacuous. We've already gotten the definition of vapid. I'm very curious. I think vacuous is very, very similar.
Yes, it is.
You know,
so.
Should be A-OK, but I'll let you have vapid for the rest of the year.
Might even have the same derivation.
Well, because I am vapid.
And I am vacuous.
And I'm insipid.
We'll get to that in a second.
How's Arthur Hoyle doing?
Vacuous. From the Latin vacuous, emptied or lacking content, marked by lack of ideas or intelligence, stupid, inane, devoid of serious occupation, idle. See empty.
Very good.
Get buzzes.
All right. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. What's happening? Hi.
Hey,
Hey, did you guys get a satisfactory example of how the game is played? Are you pleased with the way everybody told you, or do you want another explanation?
Did you hear what I said? Did I pretty much have it as you played it?
Yeah, I've played. This is apples to apples that you're talking about, right?
Is the game called Apples to Apples?
Sir.
You know, I really don't. Again, I don't know. I was in an altered state on New Year's Eve.
I think I'm giving you a total free pass on that. It's just some of these callers that are so eager to explain.
See, the game may actually be called Apples to Apples, and they may have called it, like, as a family joke, Apples to Oranges. Again, you got to understand, I was, you know, meeting my girlfriend's family for the first time. There were so many games that were going on in my head while this was happening.
But see, just hearing the name, I would call the game Apples to Oranges.
I would think so.
Because sure. It would make more sense
apples
to me.
Apples to apples is insipid.
Insipid means lacking taste or savor, tasteless, lacking in qualities that interest, stimulate, or challenge.
We're all covered. Right. I think this is fantastic.
You got it covered. I have to get my word. Hold on.
Just look up dumb.
Seriously.
Just D-U-M-B.
I think it's D-U-M, Don.
Like the all-day sucker.
So the argument begins.
What are you looking up now, boy?
My word.
What is your word?
Obese.
Very good.
There goes the surprise.
Don't forget his cousin. Morbidly.
Morbidly right. Obese.
Well, the definition, not much here, excessively fat. But it comes from the Middle French obidare, meaning to eat up. I'm excessively fat.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right,
but you do have a generous scrotum.
Thank you.
And we will talk about everything that happened with the snip snip and the vasectomy. Yes.
Get yourself a cup of hot cocoa, get a scone, and pull it right up to the radio.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.